Well, we're here for a special episode that we are adding into season 5. This one was just too good to pass up. So stay tuned. This is bonus episode with Matt Hartle. We're going to talk about his new book of Courage and Sacrifice. It's book 1 in the Bot Trilogy. And if you guys are interested in AI, robots, end of the world, so many exciting things happening, this book and this author is for you. Can't wait for you guys to listen to this week's episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Stand Up and Stand Out. As you guys know, this season is going to be jam-packed full of exciting guests. As I've been out on my book tour, I've been meeting other amazing authors, and I can't wait to share this one with you. So today we are joined with Matt Hartle. He is a writer, director, designer, VFX artist, and he lives in northern Montana with his wife, 2 children, and their dogs, Nana and Jack. He has worked in the theatrical, advertising, and visual effects for several decades, at first in Los Angeles and now remotely from Montana. As a partner and the executive creative director at Baked Studios, Matt spends his day helping others to realize their dreams, but at night, or very early in the morning, he works to manifest his own. Matt has been fortunate to contribute to dozens of films over the years, some notable projects including several Harry Potter films, Star Wars The Force Awakens, and a Lionsgate logo, to name a few. And so much more, right, Matt? I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
It is. Yeah, that's only a couple of years, but I've been in this industry for almost 30 years. So lots and lots of projects.
That's fantastic. And during the podcast today, we are going to talk about Matt's amazing book of Courage and Sacrifice. Here it is. If you guys are on the video, you can see the beautiful version from my Kindle there. I finished this book on a plane. So from Chicago to San Jose, I finished it in one flight. Yes, I know you guys, I read a lot, but this one is definitely a page turner and something for you guys to pick up. So hang on and we'll talk a little bit about that. Before we get there, Matt, I'd like to hear a little bit more about your story. How did you get into this business? Where did you start? What did you study? A lot of folks are starting their careers, so it's kind of helpful for them to understand how'd you get from there to now.
Sure. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for reading the book. That's awesome. As any author knows, like that's the golden egg that everybody is looking for, is to get somebody to actually read. And then if they enjoy it, that's really good. So I appreciate you doing that. As far as my journey, I'm actually, was trained more in the visual, arts. I went to Art Center in Pasadena and studied illustration, and was focused on character or, portrait painting and illustration and things like that. And, computer animation and 3D animation was always a big interest for me growing up. And so that's kind of where I wanted to segue into. But at that time, they really didn't have an entertainment design curriculum. So illustration was the best way to get into that. And then I started, into their computer programs. First project out of school, I actually ended up, leaving early. And my first project out of school was working on the first Harry Potter film, which was pretty awesome. It was, you know, the advertising around it, it's interesting. Like the first film, the studio Warner Brothers didn't actually know really what it was, because it wasn't a phenomenon yet. Like it was in the academic circles and in the schools, it was picking up and kids were starting to read, but nobody really knew what it was. So there was a lot of momentum within the studio to help people understand like what this property was going to be. And so that was great, you know, getting to meet Chris Columbus and just all of those people and learn about the film and help promote it. And it just kind of went from there. And I spent probably 25 years or so in film advertising, being a creative director at several different companies, and just worked on dozens and dozens of films, which is very fortunate. You know, it's been really cool to be able to focus on that kind of stuff. And then about 7 or 8 years ago, I'd kind of, you know, done all I needed to do in film advertising and wanted to segue into visual effects. And so I started doing that. And now I'm a partner and a creative director at our company, Baked Studios. And we're in Los Angeles and New York. And, you know, on one hand, it kind of draws from a lot of the same tool sets as advertising, but it's also a whole new can of worms. And it's really exciting. I love the work. It's exciting to interact with the filmmakers and to create all the different things that we do. And so that's been really fun. And on the side, I've always been very interested in writing and in directing. And I've directed a number of shorts and directed commercials. And yeah, I was doing a lot of script writing. And scripts for me are, I don't necessarily love writing a screenplay, because the screenplay is sort of like a blueprint, you know? And it's like you're a builder and an architect, and you want to build the thing, but all you ever really get to do is write the screenplay. And so I had the idea for A Courage and Sacrifice, called Something Different back then. And I'd started writing a screenplay, and I just thought, you know, I don't want to go through that again. And so I decided to try writing a book, and have just loved the process of doing that. It's just such a fantastic, exciting exploration creatively, because you get to bring the world to life when you're writing it. Instead of when you write a screenplay, it's about being as minimal as you can on the page, so that you're not telling your director how to direct, or you're not telling an actor how to act, or how to design the set or something. You're just the most minimal amount of information to relay the story. But when you write a book, you're trying to create the world. So that's just a really exciting aspect of it.
That's amazing, though. It's just, you know, so much, you know, different things throughout your career. And this is always what we talk about, is how everything sort of builds on itself. And you don't quite know how the journey is going to take its twists and turns. But like, each of those pieces is an important part to sort of ultimately where you end up. And I think this is, you know, speaking about the Harry Potter thing, where a lot of times book readers are way ahead of the trends and knowing what's going to be popular. And then it just takes this word of mouth, especially now with social media. Things can take off like wildfire way before, you know, anyone in Hollywood has an idea that it's going to be, you know, some kind of big blockbuster. So I'm excited about Of Courage and Sacrifice. And now it sounds like you've been working on it for a while. Yeah, I've never done a screenplay, so this is fascinating. Now I'm going to think about this and like if I can convert any of my ideas into screenplays.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know some other writers in my group that want to know how to do it too, so maybe we'll do a class or something later on.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not an expert on screenwriting. I mean, I've probably written a dozen of them, but you know, I'm always happy to share.
Awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit about Of Courage and Sacrifice and kind of what was your inspiration for it. Like I said, I love it, and it's going to be part of a trilogy, so I really can't wait for even the next books to come out. I'll post a review on my Goodreads so other folks can kind of start getting into it. But like, what's your inspiration? It feels really timely with sort of the robots and, you know, the AI coming in there, and obviously evil geniuses, as there always is.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's actually an idea that I was working on for a long time. I loved the idea of when I was growing up, I saw this movie Red Dawn. I'm sure a lot of people have seen that movie. And then I ended up working with one of the guys who was a child actor in Red Dawn. So whenever it would come on, I would call him up and say, "Brad, I'm watching Red Dawn." And I just loved that story about how people have to figure out how to survive when everything that, you know, they ground with has been taken away from them. And so I kind of understood that that was going to be the basis of the story. And as I started to build the world out, you know, one of the big advantages that we have in our current time is that we're so connected. And it's not that, you know, we can't have disasters, but it changes the nature of them, because you can simply pick the phone up and call somebody and say, "Hey, there's a bad guy coming. You should get out of there." And so, yeah, I was looking for a way of removing the technology so that it would sort of boil it back down to just the essence of people and survival and how are they going to do that. And, you know, I thought that it would, I didn't necessarily set out to write a young adult story, but I knew that I wanted it to be with young adults, because I think it's an interesting process to watch a young person develop and grow and how they make their choices, you know, and try to figure out what the relationships are and if they have the authority or if they should believe in themselves. And it's an interesting journey of exploration, I think. And so that's how sort of the age group came about. And as far as the robots are concerned, you know, again, I didn't really set out to write a book about robots. And I do try to keep the robots to sort of like the Jaws approach, where they poke their head up every once in a while, but it's not like Transformers where it's end-to-end robots. They're sort of like this dark menace that's woven throughout the story, and it's always there and lurking and will get somebody if they step out of line, but it's not like a robot. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you're not into robots, you'll still enjoy the book, because it's not about robots per se.
Well, and I think that's perfect. Like, YA is such a big genre right now, and even starting to split into even more niche, you know, as to exactly what people are covering. But I think it's such a great perspective. You know, these kids are in high school and, you know, they're about to have some super fun vacation over the summer and relax. And all of a sudden, you know, the world goes sideways. And so it's really great. I think it's very timely. It brings lots of, you know, relevant things together. But it is a really cool conversation of like the group of kids and how they interact together, how they make friends with other kids and how they collaborate. So I felt really positive about it, even though, you know, there was obviously a lot of, you know, sad things that were happening and challenges that they come across.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really what the robots are for. I think I'm sort of always an optimist and I just always believe in the best of people. So I needed to find a menace that would not be invested in the best of people. And that's where like robots and artificial intelligence come in, because they're these sort of like entities that are motivated by directive. And once they're told to do something, they're just going to do it. They're not going to talk about like, well, how's it going to make somebody feel? Or am I going to cause somebody a problem? They're just going to do it. And that's where the robots came from, because they started thinking, if you were going to have a government that was going to break down and, you know, try to manipulate the people in some way, I don't know that you could actually go to the police forces or to the military and talk them into turning against the population, because they are the population. And so that's where robots come in. It's a force that can be controlled by somebody who does have malicious intent, and they won't question the directives, you know? And it all kind of happened in a weird way, because I was sort of in the middle of writing it when COVID happened. And then, you know, we're rushing to the grocery store to stock up on stuff so that you can go home and lock your door and not come out for 6 months. And like, that was kind of what was happening in the story. And then as I was, you know, I finished it up, and then all the AI stuff is coming out with ChatGPT and all the questions around how does this work and how does it relate to us? And that's a theme that's woven throughout the book too. So it ended up being timely, which interesting and cool.
Yeah, everything's kind of converging in the timelines. Yeah, I mean, I spent the last 20 years of my career working in Silicon Valley, and I worked with a lot of those evil geniuses. And so for me, it really wasn't far-fetched to think that some of them would abuse their power and would really, you know, try to do something that in some ways they kind of think in their twisted way that it's altruistic, but they're actually harming, you know, others. So I definitely could identify, you know, and picture some real individuals who could fill that role, you know, there. So it's a great book. It really reads well. You know, even though, like you said, it's YA, I think people of all ages are really going to love it. And so now you're kind of envisioning maybe taking it back to, you know, the screenplay into the screen. So what's that journey like so far?
Well, so far we've done kind of a lot of visual development around it. If anybody's spent any time in Hollywood, you know that everybody's got like a 3 second attention span. So that's why I was really grateful and impressed that you read the book before we did this, because getting an executive in Hollywood to read a book, it's forget it. Like, they've probably never read a book, and they're certainly not going to start with this one. So you end up having to develop sort of a bite-sized something that you can present to them and they can look through it. So I've done visual development for it. You know, this is where like all the different aspects of your careers and of your lives all tie together. It's a natural thing for me to do that, because that's what I do all day at my day job. So we have, they're called like pitch decks. We have a visual synopsis, which kind of allows somebody to flip through and see visuals that match up with the story. And it helps sort of pitch the story without having to read it. And so that's, as far as the development work, that's really what's been done so far. And then it's just starting to leverage relationships and introduce it to people and share it with them and get them excited. I do believe that, you know, good content will always find a home. You just have to find the right person to dig into it. And, you know, they're as hungry for good content as we are for them to take a look. So you just got to keep pushing and find the right matchup. And hopefully that will happen. So the reception so far has been really positive. It's just, it's a slow burn. It's not something, you know, that I can get out there and push, because you got to wait and allow people the time that they need to read it or to go through the material. And so it can, on one hand, it can be a little bit frustrating, but on the other hand, it's just part of the journey.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that's great. You know, it gives you time to put the following together, really. And I think it's going to naturally, you know, come there. And then some of that gives you the groundswell as well to be like, hey, look at, you know, where it's picking up steam. And hopefully, you know, Hollywood and the rest can catch up. Well, aside from this, you have other projects, because, you know, why sit around and just work and do some other fun stuff? So what else have you got going on in the hopper there?
So I'm just now finishing my next book, which is called The Magoo Program. and it's actually not set in this universe. When I finished this book, this is my first book, and I had no idea if it was going to just go into the bin or if it was going to find people that enjoyed reading it. So I didn't want to immediately hop into the next one if people didn't like it. So then I wanted to explore a different story. So this Magu program, I'm really excited about it. I've had an amazing time writing it. It's set further in the future. It's probably 100 to 120 years in the future. And it's sort of a cyberpunk-esque world. But again, like that's a backdrop for the story. It's not really the story itself. And it's about a man who has horrible amnesia and doesn't know where he came from. But he's been highly, it's a world where people are enhanced. There's memory enhancements and brain enhancements and physical enhancements, and he's radically enhanced. So he's very, very powerful. But what he discovers throughout the story is that he's also got tremendous flaws that are just eating at him every day. So he's been given all this great power, but it's slowly killing him too. And he comes into orbit of a woman who's taking care of this child. And he has these latent memories of this child, and he doesn't know why. He doesn't know if maybe the child is his and he just can't remember it, or if he was associated with them in some way. And their paths just start converging as they try to figure out what all of that is about. And it's just set in a, I think it's a really cool world where, you know, civilization has just overgrown and crusted up. And so it's all the buildings are like these mega buildings. They're miles and miles high. And the wealthier you are, the farther up in the buildings you live. And everybody else lives down at the bottom in a place called Base City. And so that's where he lives. And it's kind of a world of perpetual darkness because the buildings block out all the light. And it's a kind of a mishmash of culture. So I'm really excited to share.
Awesome. I love that. And, you know, a lot of writers, we talk about this, is it's really good to keep changing, like continue to have different projects in the hopper as you're going through things. You know, for me too, it's one thing. I was so happy to read your book, one thing, because I'm tired of reading my own. It's like, I love my book. I'm very proud of it. But after, you know, 6 months of editing over and over and over again, I was really happy to read something else and to write something else. You know, I'm working on some other fiction projects now too with some local authors here in Chicago. And it's nice to switch gears, you know, between the different projects and especially be on the more creative side, the world building and things that you get to do in fiction. Nonfiction is, you know, more factual and, you know, research and some of those things, which it's kind of fun to switch back and forth. So I'm excited for Magu program.
It's going to be really interesting. And I've started doing it a little bit. I am going to use AI to help edit it, which has been fascinating. I worked with an editor on the first book, and that was a great experience. And I recommend it for people. And I want to try this. You know, it's hard and not like point out the dark ugliness that everybody's worried about with AI. I mean, it's vastly cheaper than working with a living, breathing human being. And it's also instantaneous. And I don't know if it's going to be a substitute for working with a person. I mean, I don't think it will. But on the other hand, the things that it picks out of the text and the recommendations that it makes are just fascinating, you know? Hard to believe that it's coming out of a machine. So I'm certainly not using it to do any of the writing, but basically what you do is you kind of describe what you would like it to do. Like, you know, can you help me read this and read it for flow and read it for content and make sure it makes sense? And obviously if there's any grammatical errors, I use Grammarly for that stuff, but it just goes down through and it just starts making recommendations, and it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. And it's great. And I think this is the smart thing for all of us, right? The creative part, the things that aren't thought of yet, they're still going to have to come from humans. But the things where structure, readability, you know, even just sort of phrasing, I say weird things. I speak four languages. Sometimes just the words don't like sit in the right space. So when I write, you know, the AI is very helpful. Things like Grammarly, it is essentially AI. It's telling you, you know, some recommendations. And sometimes I go, no, I like the way I say it better. We're going to do it this way anyways. And sometimes you go, oh, yeah, that way is probably make more sense to other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, especially in the publishing world, and if you're a self-published author, like you need to save every single one of your pennies for promotion, because you're like a drop of water falling into an ocean. And how are you going to make a ripple, let alone a splash, let alone like a tsunami that carries you to great heights, you know? And the way you're going to do that is by getting people to be aware of what you're doing and sharing it with them. And that comes through advertising and promotion. So I think as much as I value some of these different experiences, saving money here so you can spend money there is the key to getting the product out or getting the property out and sharing it with people.
Absolutely. Well, I am excited for your book to be out, either the new one, the next ones, the trilogy, so much more. And who knows what else is going to come, movies, screenplays, I don't know, musical. We'll figure it all out next week.
Cool. Could happen.
Yeah. Never say never, because Hamilton, right? Like that one was pretty big.
That's her favorite.
Awesome. Well, believe it or not, time is up. It has been wonderful getting to know you, Matt. As you have other projects, I would love to have you back every time. And we can talk about the next thing, evolution of AI, or who knows what's going on at that point. Before we sign off, where can people find you, get to know more about you, your projects, and to get your book?
Sure. So I have a website, mattfardell.com. is my website, and my book is on Amazon. And the next book will be up there too.
Awesome. Well, we'll put everything in the show notes so you guys can find him. And of course, we'll put a bunch of stuff out on social as this podcast episode goes out. I hope you guys have had fun listening in and learning more about of courage and sacrifice, and lots more exciting projects coming from Matt soon. Thank you guys all for joining Stand Up and Stand Out today. And you can catch us where all the cool kids hang out that do podcasts. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much, Nikki. Take care.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us today for another episode of Stand Up and Stand Out. You know you can catch us where all the cool kids hang out, the Do podcast, on all the major platforms. And if you want to connect with Nikki directly, you can get a hold of me on my personal site, thenikkigreen360.com. There you can check out my website. You can see any of my new books. You can learn more about this podcast and follow us on social. Can't wait to hear from you, and we'll see you on the next episode. Bye.